Such were the prospects which now faced the Khazars. Sarkel was built just in time. It enabled them to control the movements of the Rus' flotillas along the lower reaches of the Don and the Don-Volga portage, the Khazarian way. By and large, it seems that during the first century of their presence on the scene, the plundering raids of the Rus' were mainly directed against Byzantium, where, obviously, richer plunder was to be had. Whereas their relations with the Khazars were essentially on a trading basis, though not without friction and intermittent clashes. At any rate, the Khazars were able to control the Rus' trade routes and to levy their 10% tax on all cargoes passing through their country to Byzantium and to the Muslim lands. They also exerted some cultural influence on the Northmen, who, for all their violent ways, had a naive willingness to learn from the people with whom they came into contact. The extent of this influence is indicated by the adoption of the title Khan by the early Rus' rulers of Novgorod. This is confirmed by both Byzantine and Arab sources. For instance, Ibn Rushda, after describing the island on which Novgorod was built, states, "They have a king who is called Khan Rus." Moreover, Ibn Fadlan reports that the Khan Rus has a general who leads the army and represents him to the people. Zeki Validi has pointed out that such delegation of the army command was unknown among the Germanic people of the north, where the king must be the foremost warrior. Validi concludes that the Rus obviously imitated the Khazar system of twin rule. This is not unlikely in view of the fact that the Khazars were the most prosperous and culturally advanced people with whom the Rus in the early stages of their conquests made territorial contact. And that contact must have been fairly intense, since there was a colony of Rus merchants in Itil, and also a community of Khazar Jews in Kiev. It is sad to report in this context that more than 1,000 years after the events under discussion, the Soviet regime has done its best to expunge the memory of the Khazars' historic role and cultural achievements. On January 12, 1952, the Times carried the following news item. Early Russian culture belittled. Soviet historian rebuked. Another Soviet historian has been criticized by Pravda for belittling the early culture and development of the Russian people. He is Professor Artamonov, who, at a recent session of the Department of History and Philosophy at the USSR Academy of Sciences, repeated a theory which he had put forward in a book in 1937, that the ancient city of Kiev owed a great deal to the Khazar peoples. He pictures them in the role of an advanced people who fell victim to the aggressive aspirations of the Russians. All these things, says Pravda, quote, have nothing in common with historical facts. The Khazar kingdom, which represented the primitive amalgamation of different tribes, played no positive role whatever in creating the statehood of the Eastern Slavs. Ancient sources testify that state formations arose among the Eastern Slavs long before any record of the Khazars. The Khazar kingdom, far from promoting the development of the ancient Russian state, retarded the progress of the Eastern Slav tribes. The materials obtained by our archaeologists indicate the high level of culture in ancient Russia. Only by flouting the historical truth and neglecting the facts can one speak of the superiority of the Khazar culture. The idealization of the Khazar kingdom reflects a manifest survival of the defective views of the bourgeois historians who belittled the indigenous development of the Russian people. The erroneousness of this concept is evident. Such a conception cannot be accepted by Soviet historiography. End quote. Artamonov, whom I have frequently quoted, published, besides numerous articles in learned journals, his first book, which dealt with the early history of the Khazars, in 1937. His magnum opus, History of the Khazars, was apparently in preparation when Pravda struck. As a result, the book was published only 10 years later, 1962, carrying a recantation in its final section, which amounted to a denial of all that went before, and indeed of the author's life work. The relevant passages in it read, quote, "The Khazar kingdom disintegrated and fell into pieces, from which the majority merged with other related peoples, and the minority, settling in Itil, lost its nationality and turned into a parasitic class with a Jewish coloration. The Russians never shunned the cultural achievements of the East, but from the Itil Khazars, the Russians took nothing. Thus also, by the way, the militant Khazar Judaism was treated by other peoples connected with it. The Magyars, Bulgars, Pechenegs, Alans, and Polovtsians. The need to struggle with the exploiters from Itil stimulated the unification of the Gus and the Slavs around the Golden Throne of Kiev, and this unity in its turn created the possibility and prospect for a violent growth not only of the Russian state system, but also of ancient Russian culture. This culture had always been original and never depended on Khazar influence. Those insignificant Eastern elements in Rus culture which were passed down by the Khazars, and which one usually bears in mind when dealing with the problems of culture ties between the Rus and the Khazars, did not penetrate into the heart of Russian culture, but remained on the surface and were of short duration and small significance. They offer no ground at all for pointing out a Khazar period in the history of Russian culture." End quote. The dictates of the party line completed the process of obliteration, which started with the flooding of the remains of Sarkel.